This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. As per usual, I'm joined in the studio by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Hello.
And over there is the man with the news, Mr. Harry Fru.
Hello.
Hello. As usual, the show is split into two parts. We've got a whole discussion about the wonderful, exciting world that is Budget 2020.
Very serious.
Very serious, with some local car launches. And then after that, we've got a very exciting review of the Subaru Forester. Haven't we, Daniel?
Yes, we have.
He seemed very excited about the whole thing.
Very excited.
So, of course, before and without further ado, take us away with the news, Mr. Arif Roos.
Budget 2020, dun, dun, dun. It is, well, before we start, actually, first thoughts as a whole?
Okay, yeah, some decent enough stuff in there. I like the stuff about giving the youngsters 30 ringgit for their e-wallets.
Ah, okay, that's a point of contention I have later on.
Oh.
But headlines first, for the transport section of the budget 2020, apparently it's the fifth highest allocation, which is about 18 billion ringgit in total. And there's a few things that we should go through, which is, first one, of course, targeted fuel subsidies. Then there's roadworks, public transport, and of course, highways. First one, targeted fuel subsidies. We've been talking about that for the past 2 weeks. We know that the B40 group with the BSH, Bantuan Sara Hidup program, gets money banked directly into their account. And to qualify, you must have a household income of below 4,000 ringgit. And you must have a car below 1.6 litres or a bike below 150cc. But if your car is older than 10 years old, then you can go higher than those numbers.
Didn't our former Prime Minister have something to say about that?
Did he?
He wasn't happy about it.
I think because he doesn't qualify.
That's what I thought too.
Yep.
Also, the RON 95 will float starting next year. So
that's good news. That's
good news. But, you know, there was a lot of people being worried that if you don't qualify for the BSH, you might not be able to get some of these subsidies. And as we know, the middle income group is also not
benefiting from it.
But now there is a program and they're calling it the Cut 95, which is non-BSH holders or the middle 40 group. So you get basically the same amount of subsidy as the B40. So 30 cents per litre and limited to 100 litres for cars and 40 litres for motorcyclists. More details about how to apply for it will come in next year in March or how it works. But yeah, in general, you know, that's pretty good. It covers quite a lot of people. So the next thing is roadworks. 1 billion ringgit has been put aside to improve rural roads across Malaysia. And 55% of that goes to East Malaysia, Sabah and Sarawak. And honestly, deserving.
Yeah. I think 85% should go to Sabah and Sarawak.
Yeah?
They deserve it more than... We've got pretty good roads already, you know?
Yeah. I think... pretty good is debatable.
I was going to say that's a debatable
topic.
But,
you know, if you take away all the little nonsense that goes on with contractors, road contractors,
yeah.
I think, you know, we've got pretty good roads, you know. It's just that Sabah and Sarawak really need proper infrastructure.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. Yes. But, you know, there is also 4.85 billion ringgit being put aside for this new thing called the Malaysian Road Record Information System. It's basically a fund for state governments to maintain roads, bridges and drains. So, you know, I guess...
That's for Petaling Jaya.
That's for Petaling Jaya itself. Yeah, which is good. But, you know, there's a lot of people wondering, we've seen a lot of roads being patched up, but 2 days later, there's still a pothole there. So there's a lot of question being asked about...
Even a sinkhole.
Even a sinkhole, yes. You know, there's a lot of questions being asked about, like, the quality of these contractors and the jobs that they do. The next thing is public transport. The big headline is 450 million ringgit will be used to buy 500 electric buses to be used in selected cities. Of course, I would assume Malaysia's major cities, right? Yes. 146 million ringgit to subsidize bus operators for last mile transportation, which is good. But I don't think they've shared any costs for like upgrading public transport infrastructure, which is, you know, something else other than trains. Bus stops, new bus lanes, new bus routes. So I don't know what... It's missing something to me.
You're right, it's missing. Yeah. They've not thought about that. But also, you know, this 450 million for 500 electric buses. There are so many suppliers of electric buses, a lot of them coming from China. There are some already in Malaysia trying to sell their buses. But are these buses good enough? We don't know. Because why? Electric buses against battery issues, charging issues, extreme heat, how will the buses last? Yep. I think there's going to be a lot of millions lost in guesswork before we get the right buses on the road.
I did read somewhere that it does cost on average around about $1 million for a decent electric bus.
Yeah.
So that seems about right.
That's excluding the cost of like putting a whole charging station at a bus depot. Right. So that's, I mean,
it's hard to argue with it.
Yeah, you're right. The final thing, which is highways, we skipped this a few weeks ago, even though the news kept coming. But first, the headlines. The second Penang Bridge will be reduced by 1 ringgit 50 cents from 8 ringgit 50 cents, which is, I guess, good enough. It matches up with the first Penang Bridge. The government will also definitely be acquiring Kesas, LDP, the Sprint, and the Smart Tunnel. And we won't get free tolls, but toll rates will be reduced by up to 30%. And congestion charges will come into effect in 2020, which probably means that it's free from midnight to 5 a.m. Obviously, full details will be revealed soon enough, I assume, with the NEP or something like that. And the other thing is Plus Highways. There's a lot of talk about Plus being taken over. And in the budget, it specifically stated that Plus will be offering an 18% discount on the tolls. You know, it went from Khazanah saying flat out that they are not going to sell Plus at all to the government suddenly considering the proposals. And then suddenly the government is thinking, you know what, we actually might buy this.
Yeah. Just a minute ago, you said you had an issue with the 30 ringgit wallet thing.
Yes, okay. So 450 million, right?
Yeah.
Is what it will cost to deposit, what was it, 30 ringgit, a one-time fee into a millennial's account and young person's account who earns below 2,500 ringgit. That's 450 million, right? Which we now know is enough to buy 500 electric buses. And considering the fact that they didn't share any cost for upgrading public transport infrastructure, I suppose the question I have is like, how much will this 30 ringgit be of use to a person like me who has...
It's a one-time enjoyment fee.
It's a one-time enjoyment fee, right?
Well, think about it this way. We have a particular company here. They are heavily involved with the toll roads.
Mm-hmm.
They also have an e-wallet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If they're putting 30 ringgit in your e-wallet and you can then use that to pay for your tolls on the road, that's how you'd benefit.
But for now, I mean, the RFID program hasn't rolled out, so it doesn't really benefit me that much. And I would much prefer to use that RM30 to, I don't know, buy some food or take a Grab somewhere. But
I mean, you'll be able to do that.
Yeah, but it's only one time, though. Yeah. Will it actually...
It's an encouragement to get people using digital wallets. That's the motivation behind
it. Right? That's what... I agree with Richard. The thing is, I'm not a digital wallet person. Yeah. I like a fat wallet in my pocket.
Oh.
Now, the thing is, you know, the problem is there's a cost in holding money. There's a cost in moving money.
Yeah.
So all the banks are trying to reduce this. The government is also encouraging it. So if I give you a digital wallet and say 30 ringgit, you'll automatically be forced to download the app and start using it. If I don't give you the 30 ringgit, say I say, okay, you must use an e-wallet, you will still not download the app. Some will do, some will not do. But the moment you have a free 30 ringgit wallet, you say, okay, I'm going to get this, I'm going to buy myself an ice cream and a chocolate and get through the toll for free. And then after that, once you see how easy it is to use, you'll continue using
it. I mean, but the thing for me is that, yes, I do have the Touch 'n Go e-wallet app, and I probably do have some money in there.
Right.
But most of the time, if you go to Mama's or any restaurants, you don't actually use it some
yet.
Of the time?
Yet.
It's going to get there. You see, many years ago, I remember if you want to order a roti canai through one of, you know, Grab or Food Panda, you can't.
Yeah.
But now the mama will send you the roti canai.
I don't know.
I think the bigger question is, which e-wallet service will be the one that we'll be using and who will be receiving the 30 ringit?
I guess so.
I think we can all guess.
I think we can guess.
There'll be no choice.
There's four big players, apparently, in that discussion,
right,
from what I've heard.
But I feel like I want to know what people think about this.
Yeah.
Would you rather have the 30 ringgit one time, or would you rather have that money spent on public transport infrastructure?
No, the 30 ringgit one time.
Let us know.
Let us know.
Get us via Insta story or post that up there.
On Twitter as well.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Right. Shall we have some car launches?
Yes.
Yes.
Shall we have some local car launches?
Why not?
Let's do that.
So Toyota Corolla, lots of talk about it in the past 2 weeks and it's finally been launched.
Right. And there's a seesaw on this.
Yeah,
you know,
really?
There's a lot of people who love it, a lot of people who don't quite like it.
Yeah, apparently it's either too boring or quite pretty.
Yes.
two variants, both a 1.8-liter engine, so 1.8E, which is the lower spec, 129,000 ringgit, and the 1.8G, which is the higher spec, which is 137,000 ringgit. In the G version, safety specs are pretty generous. So you get like blind spot monitoring and all that stuff. You don't get those stuff in the E. But both variants get a really, really tiny infotainment system, which, you know, it makes the car look like it has, you remember those old TVs?
Yes.
It has those big white frames.
The edges are big, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of...
Okay, it looks boring. Yeah.
the thing is, you see, I've not driven the car, but my team has driven the car. Both of them came back and told me they're actually quite impressed with the car.
Yeah.
They actually like the way it rides, the dynamics, the power and everything else. And the build quality apparently is very good.
I don't know. I mean, despite all of that, you look at the infotainment screen in the middle and it is pretty small. It doesn't look high quality. It feels like Toyota could have probably approached another manufacturer for those.
I'm so glad you've brought it up because why? Nobody seems to be saying anything about the Mazda CX-3 infotainment system, which is even smaller.
But that doesn't have a huge bezel around it.
Yeah, but still, you know, the size-wise, viewing size-wise, is almost the same or even smaller for the Mazda.
I mean, but like for this one, it feels like potential lost.
Potential loss. Maybe it's a casing to keep it nice and secure.
I suppose so. Moving on to Mercedes-Benz. They recently launched the GLA 200 style.
Very quietly.
Yeah.
No noise at all. They just sent us a press release and a couple of pictures.
Yep, exactly. It's the facelift version, 224,000 ringgit. And I think the GLA is now the oldest model in the Mercedes-Benz line.
Probably.
So you don't get the fancy lights in the interior. You don't get the MBUX. But I don't know, it's a pretty decent car, I guess. It comes with a 1.6-liter four-cylinder turbo, and it's very specced towards the comfort. There's also the B200 Progressive, another car they launched alongside the GLA.
Nice family-looking car.
It's posh. It still looks posh, but this is still the base spec. 240,000 ringgit, and it comes with the new fancy interior. So I think if you're looking for a car that makes you feel good and makes your family feel good, this is the one to go for because it comes with the MBUX too, which you can talk to it, you can set up different themes, and you can put your navigation system inside the digital cluster. And again, it's the comfort spec. So comfort seats, all the safety systems, and split folding rear seats. So very, very convenient.
The only thing is this price is too close to the C-Class price.
Yeah.
And the C-Class is quite a large car.
Yes.
So sometimes you might think, you know, do I really need a B class? I might as well just go for the C class.
Well, I guess if you want to appear a bit more urban,
then you go for the B class, yes.
Yeah. The other thing is they are actually launching Mercedes AMG GTS and GTC.
Tomorrow
morning. Mm. So the facelift model actually comes with LED lights, the new MBUX, a digital cluster, and generally better materials all around. We will be covering this on our Instagram at BFM Cruise Control tomorrow. We'll try and see what we can do. Mm. But yeah, there will definitely be a walk around.
Are you going to test the airbags?
Let's hope. I'm a safe driver.
Okay. Just wondering.
With that in mind, let's take a short little break. We'll be back after these messages. Of course, we'll be talking all about the Subaru Forester with Daniel. You are tuned into Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my
and
Arif Roos.
If you missed any part of the beginning of the show, we were talking all about Budget 2020 and some of the things that have come up, of course, during that. We had some local car launches, Toyota Corolla, the Mercedes-Benz GLA 200, and some others. That aside, though, we do have an Instagram account
at BFM Cruise Control,
where we are also talking about whether or not you like the e-wallet idea of 30 ringgit. That will be on Twitter a little bit later on as well, at BFM Radio. But for now, we have to do a car review.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you. Okay, Subaru Forester, well-known name.
Yes.
It's a wagon, it's an SUV, you can call it whatever you want. It's basically an all-wheel drive machine. Now, this is a brand new Forester. Initially, when you know people look at it, they'll say, "Oh, it's a facelift because it looks the same. The profile of the vehicle is still the same, so it has that wagon look, sitting a bit high up. But actually, every panel is different: lights, fenders, the whole nose, the rear treatment. Everything is different. Get inside the car, same story. Everything is different. But what makes this car really special is number one: 47 years ago, this company launched its first four-wheel drive. 47 years ago. They've been doing four-wheel drives for 47 years. Do you think they can get it wrong? No. They know. And if you go America, Australia, New Zealand, these three countries, the Subaru is king.
Yep.
Whether it's off-road or non, it's king. Families love it. Single people love it. Lifestyle enthusiasts love it. It's just a vehicle that just does everything. So in the last few years, they've made a big movement in Malaysia. I mean, the old models all sold well. And now they're trying to bring in this new model with an added feature beyond the four-wheel drive, beyond the you know, the nice interior and the rugged looks and everything else. It's called EyeSight.
What is it?
Okay, EyeSight is basically a camera system that basically watches out for you while you're driving. Now, Subaru has tried to copy. I would use the word copy. The big boys in the game have all been doing this kind of safety features. But they've used sonar, they've used radar, they've used all kinds of systems. But with Subaru, basically what they do is they are using cameras, okay? It's a full color camera. So basically, it's actually like extra eyes sitting at the top of the vehicle. I think I put up a picture. You can actually see it's right, you know, where the rearview mirror is.
Yeah.
Just in front of it, there's two eyes. And it actually captures everything that's going on. So at some point, you're actually driving the car and the car is basically telling you what to do. I give you a simple example. I tried this out and I was quite, entertained by it, you know. Sitting in traffic jam, I looked down on my phone. Now, normally people actually pick up their phone and play with it, right?
Yeah.
In traffic jam. But I looked down at my phone. Immediately when the car in front started moving, it alerted me.
How did it do it? It was a sound?
Beep, beep. And then there's a little icon that comes out. Move ahead. You know what I mean? So instead of the guy waiting, you know, for you behind you and horning, bam, you know, get a move on, you lazy bugger. You know, the car tells me to move on.
Ah.
So it's great for traffic jams. Now, this car has got almost level 2 autonomy driving. Okay. With these cameras running, with EyeSight running, you can actually sit in a traffic jam, set everything, you know,
yeah,
and sit back and let the car keep moving. But this is a big but. When it was designed, when it was tested, not for our motorcyclists.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not for our motorcyclists. So in countries like Jakarta, I mean, in cities like Jakarta, Bangkok, of course, KL, and, you know, Vietnam, Hanoi, it ain't going to work. So let me tell you, people, if you go out there, you take this car for a test drive, while the salesman is doing the test drive, if he's on an open road or, you know, like a federal highway, for example, and he does the autonomy, you will see the car working by itself perfectly. But that's because there's no motorcyclists around. The moment you come into a normal city street or, you know, like one of the normal streets, like, you know, University Road or whatever, Jalan Gasing or whatever, you're going to be in trouble because bikes will just whiz in and out and the camera can't catch the information fast enough. So don't try it like that. But this car is well designed. The technology is there. It's just that the variables around don't work in its favor.
I think for a lot of other companies who have this same type of technology,
same problem.
I think for Subaru's EyeSight, they, like you said, it captures images all around, right. And I think the AI analyzes the image,
yes.
Whereas other car companies, they have sensors which, you
just
know,
detect
the AI,
something.
Yeah,
else.
Reacts on the sensors itself.
Right. It bounces back, you know.
Yep.
So this is actually a camera working for you. You're right. The camera is actually working for you. That's why they call it EyeSight. It's a great system. In a test track, it works perfectly well. Because why? You don't have people whizzing in and out. But, you know, especially now with all the ride-hailing, ride-delivery motorcycles just not giving care to the world, this will not work in Malaysia. But apart from that, it does its job to keep you safe. So if you're, say, slightly moving to the left or to the right, it detects the white lines on the road and it tells you, you know. And even if you have a few white lines missing, which is common on certain streets, it still can detect because it does like a little graph to tell you that, you know, there are white lines there. So please stay in your lane. So it's got all these safety features, too long to mention, but I want to say this. Get into this car. First thing you realize is Subaru has moved their game up in terms of quality. Plastic, soft touch materials, ambient lighting. You know, the Japanese have never been big with ambient lighting, especially in the mid-range cars. But, you know, I think it's because, you know, in Japan, it's not a big thing. But now, the rest of the world want ambient lighting. The Europeans have done it, and they've done it very well. I personally am too old for ambient lighting. But Subaru has ambient lighting, and it looks pretty decent at night. It's not in-your-face ambient lighting. Take it for a drive, and then you'll also realize... I did another article on this. This car drives almost as well, or nearly 98% there with the BMW X1.
Oh,
now, the BMW X1 looks a lot like it. You know, the same kind of shape, that aggressive fenders, the nose, the stance, the silhouette and everything else. Now, the BMW X1 is 220,000. Now, I'm talking about the current X1. The new one has not come yet. 220,000 for the X1. This one with eyesight is 159,000. So the difference is 60,000 ringgit. So I did an article, I put it up on DSF, and this is the reaction I got. I said, would you buy a Subaru for 159 or a BMW for 220? Now, a lot of people said, oh, I'll buy the Subaru. But there were some people who said, you know, I want that BMW branding. I want a little bit of extra services that BMW gives me. But in terms of product, apple to apple, they're very similar.
Can you tell us a bit more about, like, you know, the Subaru legendary handling? Because they do have a huge track record, and I believe this Forester is also based on the Impreza and the XV as well.
Yes. It's a new chassis, very rigid. Okay, I tell you how rigid it is. Now, if you
were is this to... the new Impreza?
No, it's not.
It's not. Because that was the rumor for a while, right?
Well, the new Impreza, it's still far away.
Right.
It's still far away. Now, if you do this now, I'm not supposed to encourage people to do this, but I did it. Okay? If you see a speed bump in Petaling Jaya, the normal speed bumps are pretty high, right?
Yeah.
If you go bombing down the street, late at night, don't do it early in the day, late at night, not much traffic and everything else, you don't stop for the speed bump. Normally, a pickup truck, no issue. But with this Subaru, you'll actually fly across the speed bump. That's how rigid the shell is. Now, if you try it with other SUVs in its segment, you'll hear a big thud and a thump, and you'll, you know, the vehicle might veer to the left or to the right a little bit, you know?
If it always feels like something's fallen off.
Yes, yes. This is a very rigid chassis. Now, when we went for the media preview in Taiwan, we were given an off-road course. In that off-road course, we did the same kind of nutty driving, and this car held its ground very well. It's designed to go off-road. The sad thing is 99% of Malaysian buyers will never take it even off the pavement. And that's the sad part. You've got all this technology right underneath your car working to do anything possible off-road.
I mean, because you said that, right?
Right.
There has to be a question of, like, why would people get a Subaru anyway? Because the CR-V seems to be just a little bit better in some aspects.
Well, the CR-V is bigger. CR-V sits higher.
It's got 7 seats.
CR-V doesn't have 7 seats.
Oh, I guess we don't get that.
Ah, Sorento gets 7 seats. Santa Fe gets 7 seats. But you see, the thing is, people buy Subarus also because the legendary name.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then, okay, if you're driving in heavy rain, the four-wheel drive works for you. You know, the all-wheel steering works for you. All-wheel drive works for you. It's a comfortable car. It's got a lot of space inside. Subaru engines, the boxer engines, there's a different rhythm to it, you know. Some will say, oh, consumption is a bit high. Tell me which SUV doesn't have high consumption. If it's called an SUV, it's supposed to consume more fuel. If it consumes less fuel, it's not an SUV, it's called a car. You know?
I'm going to ask you to do an inspection now then for me.
Okay.
Who's its competitors right now?
Immediate competitors will be the Honda CR-V, like you mentioned. Mm. The Mazda CX-5, the 2-litre, and I would say the Hyundai Tucson, the Kia Sportage. But I really want to say the BMW X1, even though the BMW X1 is a premium brand. But this car has moved the premium game a little bit up, like what Mazda has done with the CX-5. So I think, yeah, BMW X1, the current BMW X1.
What's good about it, and what do you think it's missing?
What it's missing is, I know this is going to sound really silly and Subaru people will be laughing at me, but if they could sell this as a two-wheel drive.
This sounds very familiar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. If they sell this as a two-wheel drive, you know, because I feel sad for all that technology. You know, eyesight, great. You know, that safety features, great. Because why? Volvo has it, BMW, Mercedes, all the premium brands have it. But a lot of Malaysians are not enjoying or utilizing that four-wheel drive system. And it's a bloody good four-wheel drive system.
I mean, the other day I just found out that some people actually use the off-road button. They press the off-road button when it's raining heavily.
Exactly. You don't need to do that. No. It works for you, you know. Yeah. X-Drive, everything, it works for you. It's intelligent. It works for you.
So, to me, the Forester is the biggest among its competitors. Yes. Is it, though?
It's not. Among the rivals, it's not the biggest, but it's sitting right somewhere in the middle. See, the CX-5 sits higher. So that looks like a proper yeah. SUV. You know, when you use the word SUV, this looks more like a country wagon. What it reminds me of is something called an Audi Allroad.
Ah, yes. You know? But, well, Subaru has something like that, right? The Outback?
Exactly. But the Outback is not very popular here because of the price. It's a 2.5. It's a big engine. It's turbocharged. But, you know, this is what I think this car represents. It's a station wagon, all-wheel drive vehicle.
You know, final question. This car looks very rugged.
Right.
But does it do enough to knock the CR-V off its perch? Because that's the ultimate urban family mobile.
It can't do that because the CR-V has got branding, you know, gone through 30 years of branding, 30 years of giving people what they want. This car has only been around, this Forester brand has been around maybe, you know, 9-10 years in Malaysia. It needs more time to basically go and basically knock the CR-V off its perch. And that is not going to be easy because the next CR-V that comes out, it's going to be a lot better.
Got any final words for the Forester?
Final words for the Forester. I think a turbocharged version will hit right smack into European territory. Because why? You can't put it next to the X3 or the Mercedes GLA or the Audi Q3 because it doesn't have a turbocharged engine. It's got a normal aspirated 2-litre engine. The moment you give it a turbocharged engine, yes, it's going to be more expensive. But with everything else going along with it, it sits right with the Europeans and it says, hello, I'm here. Welcome to a new game.
I remember a long time ago, actually Subaru stuck an Impreza engine in the Forester and it became quite a cult classic. Yeah.
Yes. You see, like I've been asking, why can't you put, you know, the Subaru Levorg has got a 1.6 turbo. Not very powerful, but more powerful than this engine because this is a 2-litre normal aspirated. I said, why can't you put that wonderful engine inside this? They gave me all the reasons for chassis, this, that, you know, balance and everything else. Engineers have their ways of doing things. But I think it's more for emissions and it's more the reason that, you know, their customer base based on a focus group says, I don't need a turbocharged Forester. I just need a Forester to work all-wheel drive all the time for me.
There you go. Final words from Daniel there on the Subaru Forester. That's all the time we have for this week, folks. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you download it from. You have been listening to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury on behalf of Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my and, of course, Mr. Arif Ruse, who's going to tell you all about our Instagram page.
At BFM Cruise Control. And hit us up on Twitter as well, at BFM Radio, because we will be asking you about whether you prefer 30 ringgit in your e-wallet one time or all that money on public transport and infrastructure.
That's not an easy question to ask.
Exactly.
It's done that on purpose.
Exactly.
Same time, same place next week here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.